Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
And we challenge everybody to, and by the way, I think by now you have these, but in the seat back in front of you, these are just a luggage tag. And there's two things in particular we're challenging the congregation to do this summer. The second one, I'll work backwards, is to be faithful in church attendance. Even if you go away on vacation, find a local church to be a part of that really helps you to grow and let the body of Christ expand. And the other is to commit to memorizing five verses. Now, we're about halfway through, so if you haven't gotten to it yet or whatever, it'll take you a couple days to knock it down. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24, and as you know, we've been preaching through this text and then taking one verse each week. It's called expository preaching. Today we're on verse 28, and we're talking about stealing. But the Bible talks about this new life that's found in Christ, and Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 24. So let's read it together. I need your best voice, your best shower voice, if you will. Can we do that? It's five verses, and then I'll read verses 25 through 28 by myself. Let's all read it together. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. Stop. All right, we got to stand together. You can do better than that. Come on, you weren't ready. If we don't do it right, everyone's got to drop down and give me 20 push-ups, all right? All right, here we go. Here we go. If not, we're going to get out of here at 3 o'clock. Deacons, strap the door shut. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now I'll read verse 25. Verse 28, you can tell, obviously, is highlighted. That's our verse for today. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Pastor Jamel last week talked about stress and giving Satan a foothold, but verse 27 says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Today, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Just for the sake of doing it together, let's read verse 28. This is our verse for this morning. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. You may be seated. You did a great job. In America, identity theft or fraud will cost Americans $20 billion. Now with the internet, that's changed, but today, approximately $10 billion, household burglary, motor theft, and property are only half, $10 billion a year. It's one of the scriptures that the Bible talks about. Our former life includes stealing or theft is the old way of life. It's linked with lying, and it's deceitful. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about our former way of living. I want to read it to you. And you say, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. Before you come to Christ, you're a sinner. You can't stop sinning. Even if you think you can, you can't. But then Jesus brings you into a new life that's found in Christ with spiritual power and strength. But our old way of life is kind of defined like this. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? So do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Is there anyone in the house that is glad that that's what you were? You were washed, you're clean, and the blood of Jesus covers your sin. Anybody in the house this morning? Isn't the Lord good? So the Lord takes us from our sinful condition and gives us a new life that's found in Jesus Christ. And one of the things is being a thief or stealing. And this morning I want to talk to you about the cure for the thief. The cure for the thief. Now listen. If you've not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to change you from the inside out, at the end of this message, I'm going to present the message of the cross, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away your sins, and because he died and went to the grave and he resurrected, if you'll believe on him, you could have salvation and a change from the inside out. But let's talk about the cure for the thief. Number one, understand the difference between the temporal and the eternal. You have to understand how Satan wants to work. He wants you to focus all of your attention on this world, but I want to tell you that all of us will die, or Jesus Christ will come back and we'll spend eternity with him in heaven, or if your life is not right with God, eternity in hell. Just to be clear, God does not want anyone to die and go to heaven or hell. Hell's designed for the devil and his angels. God wants all of us to spend time eternally with him. So if you live 60, 70, 80, 90 years, it's temporary compared to the eternal. And Jesus said this about eternal things, Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, some people make this very kind of simple. They say, you know, Pastor John, if it's about going to heaven or hell, I want to go to heaven. So, like, you know, like at the end of the service, hey, how many want to ask Jesus in their heart? Listen, if I'm going to go to hell, I'll put my hand up. I want to go to heaven. So a lot of people just look at it as a kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card, like insurance. Well, you never know. I guess if, you know, I die, at least I'll know. It's not insurance. I actually have the game Monopoly. Anyone play the game Monopoly? Oh, man, that game's killer, unless you own Boardwalk and Park Place, and it's a cool game. But I have this little card that says get-out-of-jail-free card. And a lot of people, like, look at it like, you know, okay, I'll just ask Jesus, so, you know, then I'll just make sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. The heaven is kind of like the cherry on top. What happens is when you ask Jesus into your heart, heaven comes down into your heart right now. And God begins to change you from the inside out, especially when it comes to this idea of telling the truth or stealing. You know, let me just tell you one of the things about Satan. Satan, Jesus said this, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you partner with him, Satan, and you steal, or you kill, or you are into movies or whatever, of violence, what happens is it destroys your life. But Jesus transitions us to life, and he does something wonderful. Now listen, you could come to church, and you can still steal. There are people that are close to Jesus that were thieves. The number one person you'll probably recognize is Judas. Do you remember the story of Judas? He's kind of like talking about giving money to the poor because this woman was pouring an alabaster jar on Jesus' feet with her hair, a year's wages, and this is what Judas said. This was found in John chapter 12. He did not say, and by the way, he was trying to basically say, hey, this money could have been used for the poor. He goes, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas saw all the miracles of Jesus. Judas was one of the top 12. Jesus, as Jesus was lifting the dead out of the grave, Judas was putting his hand in the money jar and taking money for himself. You could come to church. You could be close to Jesus, but you still might not be right with God. You say, John, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, cheating on a test, not a big deal. Teacher's not looking. You say, you know, John, you know, Walmart, you know, come on, corporate greed. You just take a little something. Or maybe you're a white-collar thief, not blue-collar. Blue-collar means you actually physically take something. but your taxes. And you choose not to say this, or you choose to maneuver this, or you get somebody you can pay a little more and just, hey, make it look good or make the problem go away. There's something that happens in the spirit of man as it relates to the thief. Jesus wants you to think about eternal things. Satan wants you to focus right now on the, because then all of a sudden you're stealing and you're making a big deal about today. God wants us to focus on the eternal. So here's the message. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in this world right here. Don't love fame. Don't love your car. Don't love your house. Don't love anything. If anyone, I don't care if you make a lot of money or a little bit of money, if anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So if you want to have the cure for the thief, think not about this temporal, but of the eternal. Number two, the cure for the thief will establish biblical priorities. You say, what do you mean? This is how it is. Psalm chapter 24 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. This is a very simple teaching. Many of you have heard this already, but the real question is, who owns it? Who owns it? Who owns your house? Who owns your clothes? Who owns your car? Who owns your kids? Who owns everything? When you think the Lord owns it, it will help you in biblical priorities as compared to say, I did it. I made this happen. And then you won't steal because it's the Lord's. Why would you take something that's from the Lord's? It will help you with stealing. Martin Luther, the reformist, said this. I once came upon a group of peasants who were breaking into a mill to take some corn. What do you think they're doing? He demanded. Terrified, one of them answered, we know it's wrong to steal, but after all, we have to live. Luther indignantly responded, I do not know that one must live, but one must be honest. God has not promised you life. He's not promised you a perfect or an easy life. You must be honest and you must not steal. Say, what do you do if you're poor, you can't pay your bills or whatever you do? The Bible says for us to do this. It's one word. It's to pray. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It's part of the Lord's Prayer, or we call it the disciples' prayer. Lord, give us today our daily bread. So if you have need in your life, instead of stealing or taking matters into your own hands, the Bible says this, that every day you go to the Lord and you pray that the Lord would help you. Moms and dads, I encourage you, take the lead and praying for every meal. Before you eat, pray. At school, pray. Jewish people pray after the meal. They give God thanks, but it's a way of acknowledging our food before God. Listen, if not, you'll start doing things to bend the rule for yourself. But you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for everything in my life. How many of you in this room today have bills you need to pay? I have two kids in college. But you know what the Lord said? I will meet all of your needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Everybody in the room. Now here becomes the issue. When you think of God, is he rich or is he poor? Like, you know, let's say someone in China today is praying for something. God says, oh no, we're getting low. What about the people in Marlton? Nope, there's nothing left. God is different than me and you. So Roland, if I give you, let's say, $50. Let's say I have $100 and I give you $50. Obviously, I only have $50 left. If God gives you $50, he never loses $50. God cannot change. God has enough resources for everybody in the room. He promises he will meet all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You could trust him. You could believe him. But he does ask us to go to him on a daily basis. Because we have a tendency to forget about God, he does emphasize this one thing in our life, daily provision. I don't know about you, but I don't particularly want always to keep having to ask God. Can't he just give me a whole bunch of money? And I'll say, oh, God did it, but kind of move on. We have a tendency to forget about God, but he keeps us honest and he keeps us coming to him on a daily basis. Isn't that true? And he's good like that. He's faithful. He wants us to know that we can trust him. If not, we begin the hustle on our own. God's good. Listen, in Newark, New Jersey, is a relatively poor area in American poverty. A lot of people overseas would love to be on welfare in America in comparison. But 70% of the people in our neighborhood were on welfare or government assistance. So one of the questions was, should we be tithing on the welfare? Oof, that's a tough conversation. That's a tough conversation. Because I know how much it costs to live, and it's tough to do that. But I say, listen, anything that comes your way, you tithe on it. When we started the church, we were part of a church plant. There was one car in the parking lot. And then when we left, it's not because of us, but God's people started tithing and obeying the Lord. We actually bought a piece of property right across, and both parking lots were full because people trusted the Lord when they started obeying the Lord. Now listen, I just want to tell you something. God is not poor. God will meet all of our needs, but he does ask us to go to him in prayer. And he sets up our financial system, and he actually says when you don't tithe, you steal from him. You say, what do you mean? Look at Malachi chapter 3. It's not my words. These are God's words. He says, will a mere mortal, a man, rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are you robbing me? How are you stealing from me? And the Bible says this, in tithes and offering, you're under a curse. Your whole nation, because you're robbing me. You say, well, what are we to do? How do we get the curse off? How do we obey? The Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Bring the gross, whatever comes your way, gift cards, whatever comes your way, tithe on it, 10%, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not doing a fundraiser. I'm not trying to get money for the church right now. I'm trying to tell you that if you'll tithe, you'll be under the blessing of Almighty God. I want you to be under the blessing of God. I don't want your money. It's not the only thing that church talks about. That is the way the bills are paid. There's no doubt. You know, how can you afford to turn on the lights? It's through the tithe. That's just what it is. But the Bible says if you don't tithe, you're actually stealing from God. You can be a believer and love the Lord, but if you don't tithe, you will be stealing from God and you will forfeit the full blessing upon God's mercy on your life. You say, John, I don't tithe, but I'm making it. You know what? You could be doing better. God wants you to tithe so the blessing of God will be upon your life. And so what you do is you establish biblical priorities. Let me help you out, because most people don't know how to handle their finances. This is how it goes. Your tithe belongs to God. Then your taxes. Anybody pay taxes in New Jersey? If you don't, you're a thief. I'm just joking. And then your wants. That's your light bill, your insurance, your car, whatever. I mean, did I say wants? No, then your needs. I'm sorry. Then your needs. I'm really having a hard time. These lights are bright. These needs. That's your needs. And then your wants. You know, most people do. They get paid every other Friday. The first thing they do is they want to go to the movies. That's your wants. You forgot to tithe. Your taxes are taken out, whatever. And then your needs, and then your wants. You say, well, I want more. That's the trick of life, to be content with your pay. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You can't do it. But you must not steal from God. So organize your life that way. It will help you to not be a thief. And then finally, number three, work hard and be generous. Look what it says in verse 29. Work hard and be generous. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. You say, well, what do I do? You must work. Do something useful with your own hands. You say, why? That they may have something to share with those in need. Let me just talk to you quickly about laziness. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and the Bible says, poverty will come upon you. We have a major problem in America of people who don't want to work. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 says this, for even when we were with you, we gave you this order, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's a pretty big deal. I'm not saying it, God's saying it. Now here's the problem, and it's political and it's not political. Charles Barkley said this, white kids and black kids in America don't want to work. Our kids don't want to work. And so we have a problem. There's a wall that may or may not be built in the Mexico border. There are some who are employed, employers, they want people to migrate and immigrate into our nation so they could pay them low wages. If you don't know this is true, in Hamilton, they have blueberry farms. If you notice who the people are doing the actual work, there are people who are migrating here. I know the system. I know the system. You can get a Social Security number, it can be made up Social Security, and you can work in America. But if American people, kids, don't want to work, there's people from other countries who will be more than glad to make $5 or $6 or $7 or $8 or $10 an hour because they have nothing and they can come here and have something. So the debate is not the wall, the debate is work. It's either cheap labor, and if you're an employer, of course you would want lower pay. But if you legalize those who aren't here, then they have to go on the tax roll. That might help out, but then you have to raise the wages. So there's a real issue of work. I'm not here to talk about the wall, but I am here to talk about you and me, about our work and our work ethic. We must work, and we must work hard as unto the Lord. We must do the very best we can. And moms and dads, teach your kids to work. Teach them to work. It's okay. When they're younger, give them some stuff to do around the house. Like, go outside and take the trash. I can't, I'm so tired. Are your kids like my kids sometimes? That's what I do at the mall. My wife tries taking me to my wall. Also, my knees get weak at the mall. Oh, get me out of here. Listen, and you can, you know, listen, some parents do a little, there's like, okay, so let's say Tuesdays and Fridays a garbage can. You could actually give them, you know, it's not even like an allowance. You can give them a reward for that. They can learn to work. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Food, okay, yeah, sure, here you go. Here's a cantaloupe, kid. All right. No, but they could help clean the kitchen. As kids get older, they can mow the lawn. They could do different stuff. I understand of abuse and all that stuff, but listen, if the American kid, young person, does not want to work, we have a major problem. And you all think it's going to be Donald Trump building a wall, and that's not going to be the issue. The issue is on work, and there's people who want to work. And so I suggest you work hard and work hard with all of your hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is what the Bible says. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Work with all of your heart. Listen, I'm not here to boast about myself. I am here to boast about the staff at Marlton Assembly of God. When you look at our team that God has given us, they're a hard-working staff. Praise God. What a great example. They show up on time. They work extra. They're willing to do whatever. They work as unto the Lord, not for money. They just want to work, and it's a good example. You work. And something happens with, I shared my story about Newark because we had a lot of people that were on entry-level positions. This message is good for people in suburban Marlton, Medford area. Hey, we're middle class, we're upper class. Or you say, well, it doesn't matter, but if you have a menial job, if you're flipping burgers, you say, people making fun of you, UPS, or you just have a menial job, work as unto the Lord. Work with all of your heart. You know why? Because God will bless you. God will bless you. You don't work for a man. You work unto the Lord. But you start hustling, going around, not obeying the Lord, not tithing, all and things don't work out for you. A promotion comes, oh, and it's racism. Oh, wait, no. You work as unto the Lord. The Lord will help you, move you where you need to go. Some of you are really close to a miracle in your life because of the faithfulness of God. America is looking for good workers. The Church of Jesus Christ, my biggest challenge, you say, what's your biggest challenge? Is finding good workers. Oh, lands, it's hard to find somebody. Am I right? It's the hardest thing. We're looking for a children's pastor right now. I'll meet guys, I'm like, dude, do you want the job or not? I'm like, look at how, what is wrong with you? It's okay, it's just the biggest challenge. If you own your own company, you know that's the biggest thing. You know the people you work with, it's the biggest thing. But when you love Jesus, and you're not trying to hustle, you're not trying to steal, you just show up to work early with a good attitude. You know, you go through the drive-thru of Dunkin' Donuts. You load up on caffeine, I'm ready to serve the Lord. You give a good day's work. Hey, I need someone to stay a couple minutes extra, you just do it as unto the Lord. It's a great feeling to work. Now listen, I'm going to step on your toes. If you make $300,000 or $400,000, $100,000, and you come to church, and God's speaking to your life, you say, I should get involved, I should serve. You make $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year, and you come up to Pastor John and say, Pastor John, I'll do something to help. And I give you a mop and say, clean the boy's bathroom. Listen, you don't say, do you know who I am in the world? Nope. In the church, for the Lord, we're servants of the Most High God. And if you have to get that mop, you do it unto the Lord. Will you eat or drink or whatever you do, you swing those hips. You get into it. You get going. You make that. Get in the corners for Jesus. Right? You know what I'm telling you? People, you kind of say this. Do you know who I am? You would never say it. Do you know who I am? In Christ, it's not how much you make. It's as unto the Lord. And we all do that. And I know sometimes, especially a man, feels good about his work. If you have power and you employ and it's in your ability, the Bible says, give raises, bless, lift people. Don't chop them just because you can. So wherever you think you are, if you have responsibility, if your business is showing a profit at the end of the year, bless somebody with a Christmas bonus. There's ways that you can bless. Give them a couple days off, whatever it is. If it's in your power, America has a power system that can be changed by Christians who say, you know what, I'm going to work hard as unto the Lord. It will bless you. God will bless you for your efforts. God will help you. But you say, why do this? Watch verse 29. Watch this. And this is the reason. This is not just the eighth commandment, don't steal. Most people kind of probably know that. But when you're busy stealing, you're in trouble. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. Why? That they may have something to share with those in need. The reason God wants you and wants to bless you, listen, everyone in this room, what's what God wants to do? Is to bless you, not prosperity preaching, which just means everyone's going to get rich. That's wrong. That feeds the flesh. God wants to bless you, so he has something in your hands so you can be a giver to somebody else. Could you imagine if everybody got this? Lord, I want your blessing on my life so I can make a difference and be a giver. So I told you last week we were supposed to have our whole neighborhood over. You remember that? So in our neighborhood, there's like an email that goes out with everybody's email. Says, hey, is everybody, maybe there's a car that looks a little suspicious or someone's walking around. Hey, be careful or something like that. Someone's house for sale. But this lady in our neighborhood kind of takes the lead. I've never met her, just on the email. And she goes, you know what we should do? We should all get together for like a barbecue. I believe God puts Christians, people who have the light of Christ, in certain places, like God's giant chessboard. He moves people around to share the light. I believe the Lord moved me into this neighborhood with my wife and kids to be a light. A couple Christmases ago, I really felt burdened. Like, do people even know I go to church? Like, do they even know? Because like in suburbs, people just kind of go into their own home and like, leave me alone, I've been stressed out, you know. We build these fences all around, you know. So I just went to my neighbors and I passed out candy canes to everybody. You know, some people were creepy, so I just left it on a ran. Yeah. I'm not stupid. Ring and run, you know. Jesus loves you, I'm trying. So these emails go out and I said, they were looking for a volunteer to have a barbecue. And so Mary and I said, well, let's do it. We built this pizza oven in my backyard. My daughter JoJo, she bought me a hat that says Papa John's. I think that's pretty cool, you know, Pat? Moving those things around. So it got rained out last week. So today, between 3 and 5 o'clock, our whole neighborhood's coming. I try to count how many houses, maybe 20, 30. And there's some people that are away or whatever, but they're all coming over to our house. I've been praying for my neighbors. It's amazing when you say, Lord, I'm just available for you. You don't have to make a lot of money. You don't have to be a pastor. You just have to, like, get on the email list. You just have to see what God's doing around you. And God wants to use your hands, not to steal. He wants to put something inside of you to be a blessing. It'll cost you something. Like today at 1 o'clock after church, after meet and greet, we're stopped by Ileano's. We're getting 12 pizza dough balls. And now I'm stopping at 7-Eleven because they have the big bags of ice. Get it all ready to go. I don't know who all the people are. I'm just kind of like, Lord, here's our house. I'm Papa John, and hopefully God will do something. You want to hear something crazy? This morning I got up early because I just had some things on my mind. We have a couple garbage cans on the outside, and so they got filled up with some like water because it's been raining. So I had these two big garbage cans. I was carrying them like this. I'm trying not to get wet, you know. All of a sudden, I saw two police officers in my neighborhood. This is not a high-crime neighborhood. If you didn't know where my house was, you couldn't even find it. It's like kind of out of the way. All of a sudden, I see two cop cars zipping around the corner, and I'm in my backyard, and they're looking at me. I got these two garbage cans. Look like I'm stealing. I'm like, I live here. I'm trying to tell them I'm a chaplain. I'm on your side. You know, I'm kind of going like, yeah. Got bodies in the bag, you know. And they pulled up right in front of my house. So I kind of like hustled and put the garbage away, hid the knife. No, I'm just joking. Oh, yeah, over there. Professor Plum. And anyway, so I'm like, what's the hubbub? And one of the cops has a shotgun walking right in front of my house. This is all today. I'm like, what's going on? We have a barbecue, guys, here in Killeen. And so I kind of like was just kind of hiding behind the bush because, like, you know, I don't know what's going on. And then there was a lady walking the dog. I'm like, well, she can go to the scene of the crime and I can too. I'm like, eh. So I just went over and introduced myself. I said, what's going on? She goes, there's a wild turkey. You know turkeys sometimes? There's a wild turkey in the bush. And I thought, they usually have those shotguns for deers, right? They take them out of their misery. And he goes, there's a bow in the turkey. And he was still kind of moving. Right in front of my house. Yeah. And so I said, well, did someone, like, I didn't even know, like, someone shot it, like, here? They're like, no, someone probably in the woods was gaming or whatever. They shot it and had a little bit of life. And I think it, like, died there. And I'm like, man, this is getting real here. It sounds kind of crazy, but guess what? I have a story to share at the barbecue. You're not going to believe what happened, man. You're not going to believe it was a turkey, man. I was right there on the scene, man. We're safe. You say, that's crazy. Listen, I want to tell you, in your life, crazy things happen to you all the time. And people are looking for, like, real people, real experiences, just to reach out. And God wants you to stop stealing, tell the truth, be honest. God wants to fill your hands with opportunities to let the love of Jesus shine through you. You say, can God ever do anything through my life? The answer is absolutely yes. I'm kind of embellishing the story just to kind of make it easy for you to hear, but that's exactly true. Yesterday, the side street you kind of cut down, it was called Borton's Road. And I was just driving there, and all of a sudden I see two people like raking right by the road. And I'm like, hey, we have a barbecue. I wonder if they're coming. I never met the people. So I kind of pulled out, and two nice people, like in their 30s. And they were just kind of like raking. I said, hey, I just want to introduce myself. My name is John. We stood there for like a half hour just talking. They had to go to the shore today, so they're not coming over. But got talking about the field house. They want to come check out the field house. It's just amazing when you invite people to church and you just say yes. It gives you an opportunity to get off of stealing and lying and the things of the world, to say yes to the Lord and how God can use you. And you know what? Some people say, you know what? And I do this too. Like sometimes I'll see a need and I'll say to myself this, man, I wish I was rich. Then I could do some great stuff for God. Have you ever said that for you? Like, I wish I had a rich uncle and he could pay all the bills and I could just focus on Jesus. Usually it doesn't do that. Usually the Lord just kind of gives you something small in your hands and he wants to see if you're faithful with it. He keeps building that. Can he trust you with it? Kind of lead you that way. And so if maybe the Lord did bless you with opportunity or finances, what would you do? Lord, like, I want to do something for you, greater for you. Like, what can I do? Like, what gifts or talents can I do to kind of move you forward? Inviting people over your house, taking them out to eat, those are all just like little things, inviting people to church. Like, what can I do? And I just suggest, I think we could do more together as a church. What God has done, not because of me, but over the last 10 years, we've given like $4 million to missions. Could you imagine if Jesus doesn't come back for another 10 years, let's just say we knew he wasn't coming back, I think we could double that. I think we give $20, $30 million to missions, to missionaries all around the world. You know, one of our heartbeats is God has blessed us. We have bills to pay as a church, but he has blessed us. One of the more attractional things to people initially is the field house. But also we say, Lord, we just don't want this. Hey, we got a great church. We say, who could benefit from a day in the field house? I want to just show you some pictures. We had a group of young people from inner city Philadelphia, inner city Newark this past Friday, and they all came and we were able to give them just a great day of hospitality, soccer. This is from Pastor Jamel's church up in Newark, my sister's church in Philadelphia. Everything was free to them. You remember when you're a young kid and you're at camp? We sent buses over there, give them a good ride to come back over there. Those things like that make a big difference to kids. We envision the field house, Marlton Assembly of God, God using what's in our hands to advance the kingdom of God. We don't want to get caught stealing and lying to the people or whatever. We say, God, whatever you give us, not for ourselves, not for pay raises, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. Could you imagine what we could do for God if we did it together? Moms and dads, you may feel like you're in the rat race of life, but you have little junior, your little daughters, maybe you have kids adopted, whatever. There's greatness in your kids' life. And your kids are going to grow up and be missionaries and do great things for God. So today, if you feel like, oh man, I'm just trying to be faithful, hang in there, I'm kind of listening to the message, but your kids, greatness is coming from Marlton Assembly of God. Right now, there's greatness that's coming from Marlton Christian Academy. 300 kids a day hearing, they're going home. Moms and dads don't know about the Lord, but those songs are permeating the walls in their hearts. When moms and dads go through a difficult time, where does my help come from? I'm not even sure, but Marlton Assembly of God, I might try to check out that church. Ground Zero is raising up the next group of pastors and workers and missionaries for the kingdom of God. The great missions program of Marlton Assembly of God will get stronger. We are partnering with evangelist Jermel Mayo to spread the gospel wherever we go. The field house, the prayer service are all ways to let the love of Christ, and it's just a little bit in our hands. I'm nothing special. Our pastoral staff, average. Average. I'm just telling you. Am I right, guys? Andy's like, So he's the youth pastor. No, but if you really look at it, we're just regular. Say, God, if you bless us, we'll be a blessing to you. Could you imagine what God is going to do in the fall? Could you imagine what God is going to do next year? I'm telling you right now, if you get caught thieving, lying into this world, and it's all about you, and we say, Lord, my hands are wide open. I'll work. I'll trust that you bless me so I could do more for you and your kingdom. And God will advance his kingdom through your heart and through your life for the glory of God. Amen? Now I need to share something else with you. On Thursday, I tried to take a day off. This past week, I got a half a day off. But I got up early. I said, Miriam, I'm going to go work out. I hate working out. Does anyone else hate working out? I joined Planet Fitness in Berlin for $10 a month. The day I joined, it was Pizza Tuesday. They give out free pizza on that day. I joined the club and I ate 3 slices of pizza on the way out. Something's wrong with that. So I don't go as much as I should, although we went a couple times this week, right? Anyway, there's a little coffee shop that opened up in the King's Grant area. And I said, let me get a cup of coffee. It's my day off. Deserve a cup of coffee. Worked hard. So I got a cup of coffee, and the lady who opened up that shop came over and talked to me for about an hour. I'm like, okay. So I didn't get to work out. God's will be done. If you're serving Jesus and you have calories, it doesn't count. That's what I'm saying, right? So I got taught, you know what? There's 2 or 3 people from our church that go into that thing, and this lady's life, her stress level's really high. She's about to lose her coffee shop. I mean, she's telling all the details. She'll tell you, too, if you go in there. But there's some people in the 9 o'clock, they come in there, and they're sharing the faith with her. They've been influenced by the Wednesday night Pastor Andy class, Rabbi Zacharias. There's a challenge to share your faith. On Wednesday night, 2 young guys came to me and said, the big tears, Pastor John, we're working on her. She's real close to giving her heart to the Lord. She's really close. She goes, the lady's asking for you. She's asking for it. I hadn't been there 2 or 3 weeks. Just, I tried to share the faith. She was looking for workers. We couldn't work that out. She had some disappointments, some employees. And she's asking for you. I'm like, I don't even really. These young people in our church helped her to download the app, and she's been listening to all of our messages. It's incredible. Incredible. And this is what she said. I'm just listening to her. Have you just listened to somebody and they're just, you're trying to say Jesus, they're just talking. You're trying to I'm just listening to her. And there's like, I think 2 guys and their families, husband and wife. And she goes, you know, there's a bunch of people from your church. She called it my church. There's a bunch of people from your church that come in. She goes, this is what she said. Whenever they come in, I feel peace all around them. And this is what she said. She has not given her heart to the Lord. She goes, I want that peace on the inside of my heart. I'm like, wow, this wasn't me. This is church people. This is church people that just go in there and buy a cup of coffee for $19.73. I was there for an hour. I bought 17 cups of coffee, $89.67. I'm just joking. I just sat there and I just listened to her. And I came back and I was energized, not because of me, but because the church people had gone in there and were such an influence for the kingdom of God. On Wednesday night, I didn't know what they were talking about. 2 guys, I didn't know they lived by the King's Grant area. They got big tears in their eyes. Say, Pastor John, she's asking for it. She's listened to all the messages. She's close to giving her heart to the Lord. And she can't, she works on Sunday, whatever. She goes, she's asking, when does Wednesday night start? Wednesday night start. So he said, listen, keep listening to the sermons. They're not that good. Listen to the sermons. And then on Wednesday, we start back up. Her son was working back in the thing, and he goes to a synagogue every Saturday. So I got talking about my trip to Israel. I'm telling you, if you'll just be open and kind and say, Lord, use my skills, my gifts, whatever, God wants to work through you for his glory and for your honor. You say, John, I'm not like that special. Like, you know, the Bible talks about talents, 1 talent, 2 talents, 3, whatever, 5. I'm just like a 1 talent guy. That's how I feel like I am, just like a regular guy. But I want to be available for you. I don't want to side with Satan's steal. And even though things don't come my way, I want more money or whatever, but I'm going to be content. I'm going to trust God that God will bless me so I can be a blessing. So listen, that's how it was for us in Newark. A lot of people, entry-level positions. I saw over time, it's amazing when you just step back, how God will lift people, lift a church, and bless. I see it upon your life. God's blessing you. But it's not just to hold it, so you could do something great for the kingdom of God. There's going to be a moment where we all step into heaven. We're all going to wish we did more for Jesus. We all are. We're going to wish we prayed more. We're going to wish we sacrificed more, gave more. And all I'm saying, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. You need your vacation, you get balance, retirement, money. I get all that. All I'm saying is, if you give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I am a vessel for you to work through, God will provide all of your needs and you will be shocked at what he could do through your life. Young people, I'm telling you, God will resource everything you need. I also want to tell you, it's not going to be easy, but he's faithful and he's good and he can help you. He could take you from a thief to a life-giving person for the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? I didn't understand what the police were saying. He says, there's a turkey in the neighborhood. I said, don't talk about my kids that way. That was wrong. All I'm telling you, there are circumstances that will happen around your life. Receive it as God working for his glory and just ride with it. I told you about people coming to my house 3 to 5 o'clock because there was actually an issue. I told you we are an alcohol-free home. We don't serve it. We don't mix it. We don't have big vats in our basement. We don't have any of that. But some people said, hey, you know, can we bring BYOB? I said, yeah, bring your own Bible. No, I mean, I'm joking. I had to say, listen, all I'm saying is, like, we just don't serve alcohol here. But I felt like I needed to tell the church people, because if someone brings, like, big kegs over to my house, and you happen to be driving by, or the Budweiser Clydesdales in front of my house, or maybe like on next Monday when the recycling comes and a whole bunch of beer cans in there, well, sure nice to be a pastor nowadays. That's not the point. The point is this: Jesus loves people. Wherever they are, whoever they are, whatever issues. My issue is not with alcohol. I hate what alcohol does to people when it makes people drink and make bad decisions. I hate it. I hate what drugs does. It just messes with people's lives. All I'm telling you is God loves people so very much. He wants to work through you. Moms and dads, he wants to work through your kids. Young people, you're going to be shocked what God does for in your life as you open up your hands and say, God, I don't know, but I'm available. And you just be open to God. God will use you in a powerful way. That's why God doesn't want us to lie. That's why God doesn't want us to steal. You say, it's not a big deal. You know, I got this accountant, man. He just moves it over here. You know, tips, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal. Oh, it's a big deal. Not because you're going to get caught. Because you belong to God, and God wants you to do something wonderful. And God takes people who are just available for him, and he does something wonderful in their life. You say, John, I'm a real lazy guy. Can't get out of bed. You need to learn how to get out of bed and be disciplined. Work hard. Young people, work hard. Work harder. Be more disciplined. Say why? So you can have something in your hand to give to the Lord, and the blessings will come through your heart and your life. I want God to bless you. I want God's hand to be upon you. So tithe. Work hard. Give. Sacrifice. Bless. Say, who's going to take care of me? Jesus will take care of you as you continue to be a blessing to somebody else. Will you do that? Lord Jesus, in this room, we wrap up our service. But I pray deep inside of the soul of a man, his conscience would be clean. He'd be truthful. He'd be honest. Deep inside a man, he would not just want to get caught. But because you're true, because you're honest, because you're holy, you would want us to be true and holy and pure on the inside. Lord, transform our hearts. Help us do great things on earth. Let our light so shine before men that they'll praise the living God. Lord, I pray everybody who steps on this campus, a Marlton Assembly of God, I pray from the mayor all the way to the person that just moved into the town, they know the love of Jesus. Oh, that's a generous church. You can count on them. They're kind. They'll get you in the right department. They'll help you. They'll move it forward. Oh, let the love of Jesus flood all South Jersey. Lord, I pray on my home, I pray today from 3 to 5 o'clock Lord, I pray that pizza oven will get nice and warm, 700 degrees. I pray people will be blessed. I pray my new neighbors I just met, I pray their hearts will be open. I pray I'll be the best neighbor I could be. I pray I'll be kind. I pray I'll be generous. I pray I'll be loving, forgiving, full of grace. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room that their lives would so honor you that from their hands they would change this world. This morning, I just want to throw up the altar. Oh, we preached way too long. If you're feeling like God wants to use you in your hands, or maybe you've never been used by God, you're saying, Lord, I want God to work through my hands for His glory and for His honor. Or maybe you're asking God for a new opportunity, a new door, a ministry. You need it. You have a need. There's something there. You say, Lord, here, for you, Lord. For ministry, for your grace. If you're praying that, I want to close with a word of prayer. I want to invite you to come. Stand around this altar. You want to be used by God for the kingdom of God. You want to slip out of your seat and say, Lord, here I am. I'm available for you. I want to close with a word of prayer. I invite you to come. Just stand around this altar. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm available for you. Let's just sing this quick song and then we'll close.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my cause.